Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update podcast for June 7th, 2024. I am your host, John Lothian. This podcast is brought to you by John Lothian News, the home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. Thank you for joining us. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Gary Gensler, the chair of the Securities and Exchange Commission, or SEC, recently delivered remarks commemorating the 90th anniversary of the SEC's establishment through the Securities Exchange Act of 1934. While his speech focused on the SEC's history and the role in regulating financial markets, an unexpected connection emerged with Taylor Swift's ongoing Eras Tour. In his speech titled Eras Tour of the Securities and Exchange Commission, Gensler highlighted the SEC's evolution over 9 decades, from its inception during the Great Depression to its current mandate of maintaining fair, orderly, and efficient markets. He emphasized the agency's core principles of transparency, accountability, and investor protection, which have guided its actions through various market cycles and technological advancements. Gensler's remarks underscored the SEC's commitment to adapting to changing times while upholding its fundamental mission. As he stated, the SEC has evolved over the decades, but our principles have remained constant: protecting investors, maintaining fair, orderly, and efficient markets, and facilitating capital formation. While Gensler's speech primarily focused on the SEC's regulatory role, an intriguing parallel emerged with Taylor Swift's Eras Tour. The tour, which celebrates Swift's musical eras and discography, has captivated audiences worldwide and shattered numerous records. Just as the SEC has navigated different eras in its history, Swift's tour represents a journey through her artistic evolution, showcasing her growth and adaptability as an artist. Both the SEC and Swift have demonstrated resilience, innovation, and a commitment to their respective crafts, resonating with their dedicated followers, investors, and fans alike. The juxtaposition of the SEC's 90th anniversary and Taylor Swift's Eras Tour highlights the importance of embracing change while staying true to core values and principles. Both entities have faced challenges, criticisms, and the need to evolve, yet they have managed to remain relevant and impactful in their respective domains. As Gensler emphasized, the SEC's principles of transparency, accountability, and investor protection have remained constant even as the agency has adapted to new market realities and technological advancements. Similarly, Swift's artistic integrity and connection with her fans, including my daughter Catherine and my wife Cheryl, have been unwavering even as she has explored different musical genres and embraced new creative directions. While the SEC's regulatory role and Taylor Swift's musical artistry may seem worlds apart, their shared ability to navigate different eras while maintaining their core values and relevance is noteworthy. As the SEC celebrates its 90th anniversary and Taylor Swift continues to captivate audiences worldwide, both serve as reminders of the importance of adaptability, resilience, and steadfast commitments to one's principles, qualities that transcend industries and disciplines. I attended an event sponsored by Aon, Metcap, GDCA, and Strands called A Digital Summer Night at the RPM Seafood Restaurant in Chicago, right on the Chicago River at Clark Street. The event featured a fireside chat with an Aon executive moderating a discussion with former FTX U.S. General Counsel Ryan Miller, now of Miller Strategic Partners LLP. Miller recalled the experience of the FTX bankruptcy and how he dealt with the process, including having just had a child born the week before the disclosure by Sam Bankman-Fried's father to him of the financial problems. I asked Miller a question about the impact of whistleblowers on situations like that, and before he replied, he asked me if I was retired. Not wanting to give anyone that idea, I replied, "Hell no!" The question has been put to me before and made me scratch my head. I'm old enough to collect Social Security. I was also inducted into the FIA Hall of Fame, which previously went to people who were retired. I broke the mold on that one. Thus, it is a legitimate question, but what else is prompting that question? I concluded it must be my wardrobe. Last night, I wore my late stepfather-in-law's hand-me-down seersucker sport coat to the event. That is a retired guy's jacket. I wear it as a seasonably appropriate style of clothing. I do have a theory about retirement wardrobe. When you retire, you stop buying new clothes, and you are stuck in the era when you worked stylistically. Maybe I need to update my style. Our most read stories from our previous edition of JLN Options were GameStop shares soar as Keith Gill schedules YouTube return from Bloomberg, GameStop surges almost 50% as Roaring Kitty teases live stream from Reuters, and SEC hedge fund fee disclosure rule struck down by U.S. court Bloomberg via Yahoo News. Subscribe to the free JLN Options newsletter with a link in today's JLN. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's a sponsored content entry from our friends at FTSE Russell. Four decades of Russell Indices Reconstitution, a webinar with CBOE and CME Group. This year's annual Russell Reconstitution is fast approaching, with less than 1 month to go until Recon Day, when our recalibration of the Russell U.S. indices takes effect. As one of the most widely anticipated market events, Reconstitution ensures that the indices continue to accurately reflect the current state of the U.S. equity markets and their market capitalization segments, large, mid-cap, small-cap, micro-cap, industry breakdowns, and style segment. Join experts from Cboe Global Markets, CME Group, and FTSE Russell, who will discuss how Russell indices have undergone a series of methodology enhancements over the years and current market opportunities. Register now with a link in today's newsletter. Also, we have a video from our OIC coverage. The headline, Webull sees growth in retail options trading, plans further expansion. Ariane Adams, Chief Strategy Officer at the online brokerage Webull, highlighted the company's focus on expanding access to derivatives trading, particularly for retail investors, in an interview with John Lothian News for the JLN Industry Leader video series sponsored by the OCC at the Options Industry Conference. You watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from the Points and Figure blog by Jeff Carter. The headline, Honoring Leo, Chicago History Museum honors Leo Melamed. Unfortunately, I won't be able to attend tonight's festivities at the Chicago History Museum. My wife was a member of their board back in the day. The board she was on oversaw some growth and innovation. Before, it was kind of static. Chicago would be a grease spot on the prairie if it weren't for the warehouse receipt that made grain fungible and led to the founding of the Chicago Board of Trade in 1848. Chicago would be a backwater if it weren't for Leo Melamed and the creation of financial futures in 1971. My comment. Nice essay on Leo by Jeff Carter. Here's a story from the Financial Times. The headline, LSE chief pushes for big screen outside headquarters to champion market successes. Julia Hoggett's plan is latest attempt to reverse pessimism over London market after decline in listings. The London Stock Exchange wants to erect a screen outside its Square Mile headquarters to showcase the market success stories and combat pessimism over its future. Julia Hoggett, LSE chief executive, said on Thursday she was, quote, campaigning, unquote, for permission to put a screen on the front of the building located at Pet Master Square, just yards from St. Paul's Cathedral. The plan is the latest by Hoggett to revive the fortunes of a market hit particularly hard by the global dearth of initial public offerings in recent years. My comment. Rule number 7. You can never have enough neon or big screen LEDs to promote your business. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, meet the degen traders fueling the latest meme stock mania. Short for degenerates, their risky style of trading has come roaring back in recent weeks. It's still better than a lottery ticket. Degenerates are swarming the stock market. A risky style of trading is roaring back in popularity, driven by amateur traders who call themselves degens, and pile into long shot trades that proudly have nothing to do with conventional ways of assessing investments. Some are flinging cash at specific stocks or cryptocurrencies just to be part of a movement. Others are sticking around for the jokes and memes. My comment. Have meme stock traders ever met any open outcry futures traders from the 1990s? Degenerates? Ha! Here are the top 3 stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top click item Thursday was the picture of Leo Melamed being introduced by Terry Savage as he was among those honored by the Chicago History Museum's 30th Annual Making History Awards. Second was a tie between the picture of Rick Bayless being honored at the event and the picture of Mary Dillon being honored. Third was the picture of Guadalupe Arce being honored. Here are the top 4 stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The headline from the Wall Street Journal. A Texas stock exchange wants to take on New York. The odds aren't good. Red-blue divide underpins TXSE's challenge to the New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ. The Texas Stock Exchange is looking to steal New York's crown as the center of U.S. capital markets. It has a powerful force behind it. Red state frustration with the perceived liberal agenda of Wall Street. But that might not be enough to win business from the New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ, which enjoy a duopoly on corporate listings and have withstood repeated attempts by others to break in. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, real estate investors are wiped out in bets fueled by Wall Street loans. Syndicators made big purchases that are unraveling with high interest rates, adding distress to already troubled U.S. property market. Lynn Nath was growing tired of the meager gains from her family's retirement account. In late 2021, she invested $200,000 with a company that was making 30% returns by buying the hottest ticket in global real estate, U.S. apartments. Now, she says, most of that money is gone. For Nath, a business school graduate who invested earnings from her husband's dentistry practice in Yakima, Washington, the loss is a personal calamity. Yet the story of her ill-timed bet and the collision of social media-fueled investing, Wall Street's securitization machine, and sharply higher interest rates also shows how FOMO and easy money once again combined to burst an American real estate bubble. Here's another story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, Wall Street's hot window metaphor is a real pain in the glass. With a wave of companies going public, everyone is obsessed. Is the IPO window open, closed, or just ajar? The IPO window has slammed shut. Wait, now it's open. At least a crack. Hang on. Some say the IPO window is always open for good companies. When it comes to measuring how heartily investors will welcome initial public offerings, bankers, analysts, and reporters, yes, even this one, can't resist citing the metaphorical window that opens and closes. But when did window watching become one of Wall Street's favorite sports? And why a window? Why not a door? Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, Hong Kong plans to start trading during typhoons in September. Hong Kong plans to stop shutting the stock market during severe weather as soon as September to allow trading in such conditions like in other advanced economies, according to people familiar of the matter. Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing Limited is expected to announce the framework in the next few weeks, the people said, who asked not to be identified discussing private information. The plan is still being finalized and subject to last-minute changes, the people said. We're grateful for your attentive listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please spread the word about our podcast among your friends. We would greatly appreciate it if you could spare a moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform upon which you access this podcast. Your reviews play a crucial role in introducing our content to new listeners. Also, if you haven't subscribed to the daily John Lothian newsletter email yet, you can enjoy a complimentary 90-day trial by visiting johnlothiannews.com/trial. Thank you for your valued support. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.